720 WGN, and now on the stream.
I love the stream.
This is where things get juicy on the stream. Juicy with G and John.
Yes.
On the stream. Thank you so much for everyone who switched on over. I feel that that's a vote of confidence for us instead of DC Bertrand. Not that I don't love the Winter's Business Lunch, but he called us out for it, so I'm just going to call him out
for
it.
Well, he's so fabulous.
He's wonderful, and I fill in for him all the time, too, and I will be next week and the week after.
I had no idea you had so much business acumen.
Well, I don't know if I know that either. So you're listening now to 720. Oh, by the way, a little bit later on, Judy Pilek. This is her last day at WGN Radio. She's been the news queen here forever. She hired me at WGN Radio when I was, a little kid.
Smart lady.
Well, I was doing traffic for a different company that provides traffic reports. I'm just letting y'all in behind the curtain how it all works. We work for a different company that provides traffic to all of the stations. And then that company lost the contract. I don't know what the details were, but we weren't on WGN anymore. I was on WGN as the traffic guy, one of the traffic fill-ins. And so was like, hey, I do traffic. Can I try and do this news? And she trained me, and she was great. And Roger Battis trained me as well. And so I did news for a while, but then the contract situation changed. But I had to go off the air. But I was like, I will be back on WGN. I owe it all to Judy.
Well, you know what? It's fantastic that she, such a generous person, paying it forward. Helping the next generation.
Yeah, for sure.
This is great.
By taking the buyout. By taking a big lump of money.
She was all smiles yesterday. Oh. I feel so lucky to be here today on her last day.
So she's going
to
be in here. She does the headlines, of course, but we're going to chat with her a little bit about, like, maybe her favorite memories. Like, I mean, I don't know exactly who was live on the day when 9/11 broke, not to bring it down so much, but I want to know what that was like in a newsroom or, big consequential news events where you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, but you got to deliver the news. Really impactful moments in her many years of career and what she's got planned next. So I look forward to talking to Judy, and I know our listeners look forward to listening to that. What I wanted to talk about, well, we had so many talks about the games, and we thank everyone for chiming in about holiday games, but I wanted to know, holiday memories is, what was our holidays like for you growing up? What was it, you have a small, it's you and your mom now, you have an extended family, complicated situation. Do you have, like, strong childhood memories? Like, when did you move to the United States?
Okay, so I moved to the United States when I was almost 5 years old with my family.
So do you remember before then?
I do. I have very faint memories, and now, you get to a certain point in your age, the older you get, you're thinking like, do I actually remember this, or do I remember remembering that?
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. And you came from South Korea.
Yes.
Seoul or somewhere else?
Right outside of Seoul, a suburb of Seoul. And my parents moved to the United States, and they settled in the Appalachian foothills of North Carolina.
Was that like an enclave for people that had moved from South Korea?
No, my aunt, my dad's sister, had married a guy that was from there. He was in the service, was stationed in South Korea. They met, they fell in love, and then...
Am I digging too deep, by the way?
No! Are you kidding?
Because I'm fascinated by this.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I just hope the listeners are okay with it.
We want to know.
Interested. Yeah. But so she ended up falling in love with this guy. Had no idea he was from the rural foothills of Appalachia in North Carolina. And then she decided to bring her whole family here. By the way, she didn't tell my parents how rural it was. She just brought them over. I found out later in life, my dad, really wanted to live in like Philadelphia, Chicago, or Miami.
A metropolitan area.
So he could open up the American dream,
how,
a small
business.
How rural
business. Are we talking?
Very rural. Like, I think like maybe like 20,000.
And is that where you grew up then?
It was. So,
what was that like?
It was rough at times. I mean, there are wonderful things. Anywhere in the world, there's going to be great people. There's not going to be not so great people.
Struggle was, were you?
Yeah.
Because I know that area has a lot of issues in terms of education levels and financial levels.
Absolutely.
Again, we're getting real deep here.
No, it was a huge manufacturing little city that did a lot of furniture factories. Mm-hmm. But of course, all that manufacturing went overseas. So a lot of unemployment there happening right now. A lot of struggles with, not to get too deep, but like opioid addiction, all of that is happening there. And it's just not a lot of growth. So, they struggled. My parents were not educated. I mean, I'm first generation, and first person to go to college here in the, United States and everything. But, there were pleasures about it, but then there were also struggles too.
It's a beautiful area though.
It is. Like, geographically, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, you're kind of your childhood, the where you grow up, it kind of pictures taints the picture of, or colors the picture
right
of you know,
were there a lot of people at your school that were not from that area?
I was like the only Asian for a long time.
What was that like?
I'm really
diving in. I love this.
Yeah, it was really strange for me. You know, I mean, there's that illegal alien term. I wasn't illegal. I was totally legal.
She let the record show.
Yes. Immigration. I'm a U.S. citizen.
President Trump isn't coming for you.
No, my parents spent a lot of money to come over here to the United States and start a new life. But the hard part about it was that we were a bit isolated. And when you come to a kind of a metropolitan area, you have networks of people. And it's not always, I mean, I'm not saying that just because people that look like you or come from where you come from are always going to help you out. But there are networks help, acclimate people to
absolutely
a new country, new society, new city.
Not only people that look at you, family, friends that you've known for generations, you build a network as a family that you're able to rely on when times are tough or when you're looking for a gig or when something like that, that if someone literally transplants and uproots their life, not only across the country, but across the world, what a challenge.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is like growing up, back in the 80s and 90s, you know, before internet was around, I thought that I had this really unique story. But then now with the internet and all the information out there, you realize that there's a lot of families that were from other parts of the world that were transplanted in a city or town that was really small where they were the only ones.
Still a unique story though, G. Don't try and just be like,
very
well, I think the vast majority of people listening or that might be able to listen don't at all identify with a story like that.
You know what? It was interesting because I felt very special and unique, but then at the same time, I felt like I didn't belong. So it was a very interesting dichotomy growing up. So,
do you have fond holiday memories since we are on Christmas?
You know what? I did have a couple of good holidays. Like I said, my dad was very sick for a very long time. He passed away when I was young, but
which obviously has an impact on those sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So and hard. I always think about people around the holidays because holidays are tough for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think a lot of us that are blessed with very fortunate situations could take a couple moments to think about people that aren't so much. I think of other people all the time, but I'm very lucky. I have both my parents.
Yeah.
My last of my grandparents just passed away at the age of like 92.
Oh.
My aunts and uncles, for the most part, are all around. My brothers and so, but there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think loss, even under the, like the best of circumstances, in terms of somebody that's lived a very long life, is still difficult. You still miss that person. But I think there's a lot of people that are going through illnesses and tragic losses, and just also maybe sometimes a lot of families that, as we said, are very complicated, and it's a difficult time. So I do like tend to keep that in mind too. But I did have a couple of really great Christmases where, you know, it was the tree, it was the family getting together. So for me, I always dreamed of having that home alone family.
Really?
Yes, I always wanted like
the big house in Winnetka
and like loud. Oh yes, I would have loved that house, but not the basement, remember? But you know, it's like you want, I would love to be in a family where there's like bustling and so many people, so much so that somebody gets forgotten.
You know? You'd love to be part of a family where someone just gets left behind.
No, but it just sounded so cool, like to have that many
people.
You
say home alone. Yeah, that is interesting. A lot of cousins running around.
Yeah, I am fascinated by large families. And, you know, there's a lot of folks here that have large families, you know, and I love it.
My partner Enrique is from a large extended family. He only has one sister, but he has his mom, I believe, has 7 or 8 siblings.
Wow.
I think his dad has a couple, 2, 3, or 4. I should probably know this. I'm going to get a text here in a moment just to let me know. But dozens of cousins. So this is the exact same family, but just put it in Monterey, Mexico instead. And what they would do, and it's obviously it's a very Catholic country, so there's a lot of Jesus in their Christmas, which makes sense because, you know, that's what it's all about. They'd put on nativity plays or plays with costumes, and the older cousins would direct the plays for the younger kids. And, you know, while I have an okay-sized family, I didn't have very many cousins, maybe 3 or 4. You know, so, like, I am envious of that packed house. And that's kind of what I always pictured it as, but it just wasn't the reality for me.
Yeah, not for me either.
But I loved Christmas. So, like, Christmas was my favorite, absolute favorite holiday growing up. And it went beyond presents.
Okay.
So, for me, like, I remember my biggest present that I ever got was a little Casio keyboard. I was so excited to get a keyboard. One year I asked for a dry erase board. That was all I wanted. And my parents, like, they played the game that, oh, well, Santa can't get you that this year. And then they're like, secretly, like, man, that was only 30 $40. That was like the easiest gift ever. But I was much more of the creative. I wanted the Mr. Rogers trolley. He, you know, the trolley that he came, that went to Make Believe Land.
Have you seen that documentary on Mr. Rogers?
No, I haven't, but I need to. I've been putting off because of eventual weeping.
Well, you knew early on, as a young tyke, you knew, John Hansen knew he wanted to be in radio.
Yes,
or TV,
for sure.
Or...
For sure, for sure. My parents would let me play with the camcorder. You can go through our Christmas videos, and it's often me filming or on the filming of it. I used to, when I was a kid, during recess, I had a Channel 7 soybean news is what I called it, because I must have learned that we exported the most soybean in Illinois. No soybean to be found in Downers Grove near Hillcrest Elementary, but I called it Channel 7 soybean news, and I'd sit there with a pen like I'm doing right now with a microphone, and I would report live from recess, and I'd have interview kids on the playground. I'd have another kid like pretending like he was the camera operator. I still bossed him around just like I do the ones today, and no, but that was certainly what I was like. So yeah, I would want creative things like that as a kid. But for me, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think this is so cool that you knew what you wanted from a very young age, which is a gift in of itself.
Yes, but I didn't quite go, like, I didn't put myself down that path.
Oh.
It kind of went off a different direction. So I, as a younger kid, that's what I was like. I loved Wheel of Fortune. I wanted to be a game show host so bad when I was 10, 11. My dad actually built me a Wheel of Fortune wheel. He made it out of a thick sort of styrofoam or some sort of poster board, and he had like an apparatus that made it spin around, and he had even like toothpicks on the side of it, so it would go click 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 click, and I could spin the wheel of fortune. I'm very lucky to have wonderful parents who were enthused about these sort of creativities.
Well, I love this. Okay, so tell me, which game show host would you love to be?
Price is Right now. But as a kid, it was Wheel of Fortune. But now Price is Right. Everyone's happy on Price is Right.
Come on down.
And I think that, you know, when I do things at the U and the Jam, I've often always said, as a kid, I either wanted to be a weatherman or a game show host. And literally, my job is the only job probably on TV right now that is a somehow merged version of those two, as a weather reporter and anchor and as a game show host on the streets of Chicago.
Well, I was going to say, you're doing it all right now.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. But as a kid, Christmas was the time of year that I loved the most. It wasn't for the gifts, but I loved the little things. We had, do you know what Dickens villages are? They're like,
yes,
mock villages where I would, my dad would have an elaborate setup where he'd have, they lit up and you could put fake snow on the ground and people walking, and I would play with the people.
Now, did you have a train set or anything like that?
I wasn't as much into the trains, but we did. My brothers were much into the trains. I was more in creating a world. So the Dickens village with all the buildings set up, they're very small. I mean, they're only like maybe this tall, maybe a foot tall each building, but there is the church, there is the bakery, mm-hmm. and each one looks like ye olde London, so it has like that very Dickens sort of feel to it. So I would actually get the camera, I'd get low down to the Dickens village, and I would walk people through and have them tell stories. And this wasn't as me as a 5-year-old, this is me as like a 10, 11, 12-year-old telling the stories of these people in this village. And Christmas, I don't even know if my parents know this, but this is what I would do, and I just loved it. I'd play Christmas music and do that, and I would just play along with it. And there was something so exciting, and it wasn't for me the gifts, but it was all a countdown to Christmas Day. See, that's, or Christmas Eve. See, that's the other thing. I like, and this continues in everyday life. Man, we are getting deep. The anticipation for me is often more exciting than the actual moments of them. So, like, I would just love the build up to it. And then Christmas Eve, by noon on Christmas Day, I would be so sad. I'm like, it's over. Got to start the clock. I didn't get to like enjoy the moment as much as I should, but I love the anticipation.
Well, what I was
gonna, that was really long. I'm sorry, G.
No, that was beautiful. I want more. What I was going to say, I was going to add to that. I wish there was more time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is what I wish, because it's like there's not enough. I mean, Thanksgiving is so great, but then you only have like less than a month to get to Christmas, and it just feels like a blink of the eye. So I wish we need to move Christmas.
We need to move it. Where? Well, how? Move it back a little bit.
No, like. Move it into January.
Really?
Yes.
To extend the time.
Extend the time. So that way I have a little more time to prepare and get what I need to get done.
Well, gee, if you didn't do it this year, I don't know what to tell you, because this is actually the year that the longest gap you can have between Christmas and New Year, or excuse me, Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. I'm going to confirm this for
you,
but yes.
Based on all of it, because I know
it is.
You're a weatherman, you're a scientist.
It's just the calendar. So November this year started on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanksgiving is always the fourth Thursday of November.
Okay.
So Thanksgiving was as early as possible. It was the 22nd. This is as early as Thanksgiving can get. So we had over a month. So this is the longest holiday season you will ever get. Retailers love this stuff because it extended it so long.
It's because, you know what, I've been failing at adulting. I told you this earlier.
Next year, Thanksgiving's not till the 28th of November.
So I will have less time.
You'll have way less time.
It just comes so quick.
It does.
I want to enjoy, I want to savor every moment.
Right. Hey, Jasmine, I know we are no rules here on the stream, and I know I blew past the 20 break. Do we take a break now?
Yeah, you take a break now.
She is so mad.
She's like, look at her watch.
I'm not mad, not whatsoever. I'm really not
mad. Do you have pleasant holiday memories?
No, I was just trying to start something.
I'm really sad, y'all. I really don't remember that much.
Yeah.
I do remember opening presents and horrible pictures of me opening presents. Of course, my family still has that. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I really
It doesn't bring remember. You... tons of joy in the inside and stuff.
I mean, it's Christmas, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like I'm Debbie Downer. I just,
right.
like...
It's not your thing.
It's not my thing. Yeah. Halloween is more of my thing.
As long as everyone's got a thing, that's
yeah,
great.
Yeah,
let's
definitely.
Let's take this break, and then we're going to be back with some news headlines with Judy Pilak here on the stream on WGNRadio.com. Hey, it's the stream, G and John, and now we're joined by the queen. No, not QE2. We're welcoming Judy Pilak. It is your last day. I know you're not sad. You say you're not
my
sad.
My reign is over.
Oh.
My reign of terror has ended.
And
there will never be another queen. I
of
mean,
course not. Of course. No, you're the last over, queen. Yeah. You're bringing the
exactly.
monarchy down
the
with
monarchy
you.
The monarchy is over.
Yes, exactly.
Finally.
All right, let's get a couple news headlines, and then we'll chat a little bit, okay?
Right. The WGN Weather Center forecast today, some light rain, snow mix, then mostly cloudy, though, right now. Blustery, colder, the high 35 degrees tonight, becoming partly cloudy, breezy, low 27. And then tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, the high 38 degrees. For the last time on the stream, those are the headlines. I'm Judy Pilak.
Oh. Well, we'll save, you know, you're going to be on with Ro, obviously, Judy, and that's
yes.
when you'll have, a, you know, your last guest.
I still have to do my shit.
Yeah, you still got stuff to do. Well, you're working down to the last minute. You ain't phoning it in.
I walked into the newsroom and did a story immediately. Was,
yep.
Yeah.
You couldn't
really
do it any other way, could you?
No, I couldn't. It's in my DNA.
So 32 years at WGN, and do you remember your first day?
I do remember my first day walking into the Tribune Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I had on a pair of... you'll appreciate this. A pair of gray slacks, mm-hmm. and they were slacks. I thought it looked so good. I mm-hmm. was like in a, you know, and that was the days of the big shoulder pads, and I'm sure. I mean, the first few years, I wore, like, you know, suits all the time.
Right.
So, yeah, I walked in, and it was like, wow. Because, really, getting a job at WGN was crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd been out of college a few years. I did my time at a smaller station
right.
first. And then, so when I was hired back, it was crazy.
Were you a reporter? What was the first?
I was hired as a reporter and the afternoon assignment editor.
Okay.
So I would come in and I would assign the reporters what to do, but I also would report myself.
So, oh, go ahead, G.
Well, I was just going to ask, did you think you were going to be here for 30-some years?
You know, interestingly, I kind of did.
Really?
Once I got
wow.
here, I just, you know why? People who aren't in the industry didn't really get it. They were like, oh, you're at WGN. I mean, do you ever want to work at, like, you know, an FM station? I'm like, no.
No.
Because they didn't understand for a news person, mm-hmm. this was the pinnacle. Why would I want to work anywhere else?
I grew up on WGN.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of, you know, you, it was in your
exactly.
blood too.
Exactly. So yeah, it was just where I wanted to be. And I really never looked back.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, speaking of never looking back, don't look back right now, because coming into the studio right now is an entire crew and a cake. We got Stephanie, we got Jen, we got Todd, Kim Gordon, all these sorts of people.
So nice.
Look, what does the cake say?
Judy,
walk us through this. Paint a picture.
News Queen Judy.
News Queen Judy.
It's a blue cake with some snowflakes on it. It's really quite lovely and sparkly.
Oh.
You know what it reminds me of? Me.
Oh,
you're so sweet. Thank you, Todd.
That's Todd Manley with a hug there to Judy.
Oh, I love these flowers. Thank you.
Bright and yellow.
Okay, now it's getting real.
Yeah.
Hi, Lucy.
We were just talking about Judy's first day. She remembers walking
yes.
in her gray slacks and walking in on her first day, and she knew she'd be a part of the WGN radio family for a long time.
Yeah, sounds terrible. I didn't know it. I just never thought about leaving or not being here. It just, once I was here, I was going to do everything I could to stay here.
Do you have a favorite story? Anything that you covered there, or is it just the whole swath?
No, not really. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't, you know what? I can't even, at 32 years, I can't pick anything out. I've done so many cool things here. I mean, covering trials to just doing your basic reporting and anchoring and being on with different, I mean, my gosh, I think I've done every job here when I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on every show. It's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Where are you right now? I mean, we were talking yesterday about you being aligned. It seems like you're a very intuitive person. You're feeling like this is just the right time and space for you.
Yes. It's just, it's not like I just live by karma, but kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, it's something that I've been thinking about doing something else and, you know, not really, yeah, just kind of throwing it around in my head a little bit, but
go with
yeah,
the flow.
So when the opportunity presented itself, it just, everything seems right. I don't have any regrets, so I know it's right.
Yeah,
right.
That's great. If you know,
except
it's right.
Except this cake and these flowers are kind of making.
Now it's starting to get you.
I'm really going.
Right. Well, so you're on the stream now, but obviously
and there are all these people behind me. They're making me nervous.
Well, I know. I'm kind of. Are we supposed to sing?
I usually like a crowd, but
is there a song that we sing, or do
you guys going to sing the farewell?
Yeah.
Song?
What do we sing? Okay, come on in. I'll just turn on all the mics. Whatever you guys want to do.
Well, I thought we should sing Judy's goodbye. Girl song.
Oh,
and John yesterday, I've been using it, the line,
because
he called me the goodbye out girl, which I thought was so clever. So, yes, I would like to hear the goodbye girl song. Go for it.
How does it start?
Everybody
all right.
Is she coming? Or is she going?
No, she's just saving. Hello, goodbye girl.
And now everyone end with, but goodbye.
Oh, but goodbye.
But goodbye.
No, Judy, from myself and everyone here in the studio and everyone at WGN. And though, again, if you're listening on the stream, be sure to listen to Rokan because we'll do a last report at 6:30. Thank you so much for your many, many years. And you're the news queen for us all. And the monarchy shall end there.
Right. I just said the reign of terror is over. The queen is leaving. It's done.
Right.
There will be no more queens, just
right.
So you know.
Well, I won't let you make you reminisce anymore here on the stream. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then let's eat some cake. How about that?
Thank you. I love all of you.
More G, John, and a goodbye to Judy here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We're on the stream as the party exits the studio here. Judy, I love you, all right?
I love you too.
All right, we'll talk more before you leave.
Yeah,
the last wave from the queen. You can't hear her, you can't see her, but Judy Pyalak, a real legend, leaving the out of the room. That was a really sweet moment. Gee, I'm glad, you know, it's funny, this is only your second day here, but I think you can see what a family WGN Radio is.
Everyone is so nice.
Yeah.
You know what? How lucky am I? Like, I happen to be here on this day when you're celebrating Judy. That's incredible.
Yeah. I really did grow up with WGN. They were the Cubs station, everyone knows.
Right.
They had them for so many years. My dad just would listen to WGN anywhere we drove around. All the legends, of course. And, you know, I just grew up with it. I never really thought, you know, you mentioned like that I knew what I wanted to be when I was a kid. I mean, I think I knew what I liked. I didn't think I'd ever actually get to do it. And things have just really worked out. And ever since I joined doing traffic and then news with Judy, and then hosting, it's just been a real, it's just, every time I get to come, and I'm only a fill-in, and every time I get to come here, it just is, they've always been like that.
Well, it's so cool too, to just have had the chance to talk to Judy because she is so, like, she is a very spiritual person. You can tell that she's very, I feel like she could be my life coach or anybody's life coach.
You are desperate for a life coach.
She's got it down. Yeah.
Yeah, she really could. Go follow her. Let her know how much you can afford.
The Pied Piper.
Yeah,
oh my
exactly.
goodness, this is her next gig.
Mm-hmm.
Helping other people get their lives together.
No, and they picked a great last day for her. Man, it's like one of the busier news days. This whole week has been crazy with the news that's been going on from Washington and beyond. And of course, the stock markets continue their slide. And I know Steve Bertrand is covering a lot of that on terrestrial radio. I didn't even ask you what next you want to talk about. We talked about holiday memories. What do you want to talk about, G? Jump in here. I don't really know.
Well, let's talk about you.
That's a good no. Well, I mean, I can't. I don't know what to talk about.
Well, I mean, okay, let's talk about this. You just had a very nice text earlier, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Fine. Yes.
You're going to be mad at me.
No, well, someone was just happy that, you know, I mentioned my partner, Enrique, and happy that there is a gay voice, an out gay voice on WGN radio. And I'd say thank you. I'm glad people are very inclusive for the most part. But I think what you're segueing to is this Barrington story, right?
Yes. I know that we wanted to talk about that earlier.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about it on the air, but I just don't know if this is going to piss people off. But I don't think it will. I think for the most part, this is a positive story.
Right.
Spreading the positivity. Okay. So there's a lesbian couple. They live in Barrington. That's how I say Barrington.
Barrington.
And they were hosting a gingerbread decorating party at her Barrington home earlier this month. One of the women, she glanced out her window and noticed something unnerving. So this family had a rainbow pride flag that her and her fiance, they flew from the backyard flagpole. So it was a flagpole, by the way, a backyard flagpole. And it was gone. The rainbow pride, of course, synonymous with welcoming inclusivity, welcoming all colors and creeds and LGBTQ and all the other letters that have been associated with that, replaced with the stars and stripes. So someone literally had to have taken it down and bought and purchased and put up an American flag. So she considers herself a proud American, and she saw the uninvited flag swap as a hostile gesture aimed at the only openly gay couple in the neighborhood. So there's a lot going on here. First and foremost, taking down the pride, taking down anyone's flag of anything, unless it's, God forbid, a swastika or something just obscenely obscene. Is absurd. Why? What are you doing? Who cares what people have in their flag? We have Packers flags flying everywhere. No one's going around taking those down, right? That's crazy.
Well, I mean, and also just this entire idea that if you're flying a rainbow flag, that somehow you're not a proud American is a silly idea. Why is it one or the other?
Right.
Why, you know.
And that's what's unnerving. Is not that they just took the flag down, but then they put an American flag up, as if to say, and we don't know who, that they weren't American, or that here in America that's not accepted, or only the American flag should, you know, like, I don't know what the reasoning is, but the fact that someone went to that extra step, that's what bothers me even more.
Well, to me, there's nothing more American, because America, the United States, is one of the very few places in the world where you have the liberty to love whom you want to love.
Yeah, and we were... Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so...
I you know, like, and also if the rainbow flag goes away, you could say, well, it's some teenagers, you know, you know, maybe they're just naive, dumb. Maybe they're just stealing something to steal something. But the fact that someone went to the trouble to put an American flag on that one really bothered me. But this is Positive Friday, G.
Yes.
We're happy.
It's turning right now.
Because the story has a cool turn to it, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'm going to have to tell you about it.
Love it. I can't wait.
I can barely see you over the monitor.
I know. I'm standing.
So, this woman went on to her next door social network to share her alarm. She asked if anyone had seen this thief. And of course, her friends, people she knows, are very sympathetic. And look, neighbors, with the positive thing about this story, were also sympathetic. Neighbors she had never met talked about it. This is not something, you know, the thing that people don't understand about coming out and being who you are is it isn't just a one-time thing. You don't do it once. I had to admit, you do it every day. I had to do it when I was actually coming out to people, my friends. I would just get drunk at a bar Murphy's in Champaign-Urbana and started telling people I knew would be okay with it, other gay people that I knew. And then you slowly start to gain confidence, maybe a little more liquid courage, and you start to come out to people. But every single day, I'm sure there's people listening right now that didn't know it, and you gotta do it again. And, you know, I work for other companies and other places where that might not be the most desired thing, and you've got to do it all the time.
Oh, yeah, and you're a public persona as well. You've
got to do it all the time. Even people that are in private, you just, every new boss, every new job interview, you have to make that choice, whether you want to come out to them or not. And that's a difficult decision, and it's every single day. So anyways, she had neighbors saying that they were supportive, neighbors she didn't know. And that's when the story really takes a good turn, because when someone comes up to you, instead of you having to ask, hey, are you okay with this? Which is not something that you ever actually ask someone. You can just tell. For them to come to you and say that is a wonderful thing. So what's really cool, and this next part, it was a big surprise to this couple. It was an act of solidarity that turned a disturbing experience into a vibrant show of unity. Dozens of neighborhoods in Barrington, they're now displaying rainbow flags outside of their homes. They're tucking them in their mailboxes. They're planting them into their front lawns. Even, of course, it's the season, incorporating them in their Christmas decorations. One of her friends and fellow residents of the Fox Point neighborhood said, especially in the climate we're in, it just shows that there are a lot of people have a lot of love in their hearts. The love is bigger than the discrimination against a family like theirs. The couple moved into their lakeside home in May. They were eager to raise their daughters. So this is a family. They're just getting through the day like any other family is. It's a close-knit and peaceful community. They got swimming pools. They got tennis courts. Their house came with that flag hole in the backyard, and they decided to use it to fly that rainbow flag. Look, this wasn't a political statement, they
say. It wasn't like they built a flag pole.
Yes, to show off. And even if they did, who cares? But they were like, you know what? This would be a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening on December 9th.
Well, I think that's a lovely story.
Yeah,
especially
isn't
because
that sweet?
I think right now it's about, you know, seeing the common amongst us all, seeing what we have in common versus what's dividing us. There's just plenty dividing us.
Right.
And the country is so divisive right now, especially with the political climate and everything else going on. And it's a hard time.
You know, and if that had happened to me, my first concern is like, oh, man, this person thinks this, but other people must think this too. And while that is true, there are other people, because it makes it feel, because they're the only ones that have taken an action against you.
But that's why I love that the neighbors all came together, and they, it's a show of solidarity.
Yes, that's not accepted.
Right.
And that behavior, the guy taking down the flag, is not accepted. There's nothing more better.
More
English.
Better. There's nothing more betterer.
Yeah, than feeling like a bigger part of something that is okay.
Listen, don't we have bigger things to worry about?
Right.
There are people that are hungry. There are people that don't have enough heating. There's people that are struggling with all sorts of issues. We have so many bigger issues to deal with.
Than who you love.
Right. And you know what? And it's so hard to find that person that you feel connected to and can fall in love with, that when someone does it, as long as it's two consenting adults, like, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, life is hard. The older you get, the harder it is to get through life. And listen, if you found somebody that will help you get through this here life, listen, more power to you.
Amen. So, switching from that to rinsing meat.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for that laugh.
I cackled.
I apologize.
The last thing we wanted to talk about that we haven't gotten to yet over these past couple days, well, there's other things that have gone down to the floor, are the interesting myths, I guess there is, about cooking. I know a lot of people are going to be cooking here over the next few days. Do you got this article in front of you or what?
Yeah, sure.
You want to walk us through some of these things?
I will do that. Hey, listen, you know everybody is into avocado toast. Every menu, it's about avocado toast.
That's all Jasmine
eats.
She's a millennial.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are not washing their avocados.
Oh, hold on. Jasmine, now you can go ahead. Sorry.
Can you hear me now?
No,
yes, we can.
Oh, testing. 1, 2. It's life.
Yes. I mean,
oh, it's life. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You've got to wash your avocados, Jasmine.
Scrub them, right?
I know that the avocado toast is life for you, you know, for a lot of people, but you've got to really wash avocados because, you know, people just see that they're green, they're a superfood, and they think they don't have to wash
it. Another thing to add to my list, okay.
Would you wash the outside of it or the inside?
Outside of it, because, you know, it's
but you're just scooping out the inside. Why do you need to, what do you care what's on the outside?
Because you're touching the outside, and by the way, there's a lot of people that cut themselves when they're cutting an avocado, too. You got to be careful about that, okay?
So it's more about what you're touching, not necessarily about what the food you might consume.
Well, you need to rinse the avocado, okay?
And
for 20 seconds, okay?
Okay.
All right, so also another thing you need to do, you need to wash your produce before you put it in the refrigerator. Same thing.
I didn't know that.
Because it's traveling to the grocery store. There's a lot of people handling it before it gets there.
The article actually starts out with, it doesn't even include it on this list, but it quotes a New York Times article that rinsing raw turkey or chicken before in the oven is not a good idea.
No, because then you're just like spreading the germs to the sink and everything else.
Oh, so it's not you're doing no harm to the meat.
No harm to the meat, but you're not really cleaning the meat. The baking, the cooking, the getting it to the right temperature kills off all the bacteria.
Do you cook a lot or no?
No, I don't.
I cook a lot of chicken, a lot of beef.
You do?
A lot of steak. Yeah, I cook almost every
day. You're a meat man.
Well, I mean,
you
that's part
chicken,
of the meal.
Steak,
yes. I also cook vegetables.
Beef steak.
And by cook vegetables, I mean throw them in the microwave.
Are you a beefcake?
Yes, yes. No, but I'm pretty paranoid about it. So I've got the soap right there and really hot water. And that usually is, every single time I touch anything like that, it's washing. Even though I know I'm going to touch it 5 seconds later. Because I don't know what you're going to touch in between there. You know, your hands go everywhere.
There's just no point in rinsing your meat.
Wow.
I'm going to let you finish it.
Wow.
There's no point in it, okay?
Well, I think it's healthy.
Baking it,
and I've done it ever since I was 10, and I don't care what my parents say.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're probably contaminating everything else in the kitchen.
Don't take a black light to my kids, to my childhood bedroom.
I know. Are you an ice cream person?
I love ice cream. I don't need it too much, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, a lot of people, you know, they take the ice cream out, they put it on the counter, they let it soften up a bit.
That's the best.
That could be dangerous.
Why?
Hey, listen. listen. By the time that it's soft and you're ready to dig in, it's a risky practice.
Why?
That could be potential food poisoning. It's a dairy product. You don't want to get it too soft.
But there's so many innuendos here that I could keep on going with here. We won't touch it.
We won't go there.
It's the stream, though, Jazz. Are we breaking any rules?
No, we're not.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Don't let your cream get too soft is what you're saying.
Yes, and, you know, cleaning your meat isn't going to help it.
Wow. It only took us 6 hours on the air to get to here. All right, what else we got to do here? What else we got to know about?
Okay, and then, of course, everybody knows about this one. It's about the pre-washed lettuce, right? It's a great time saver. You don't have to get the salad spinner out or shake the stuff and water gets all over.
Yeah.
But, you should wash your pre-washed lettuce.
Why? It's
you
pre-washed.
Have to. No, it's not.
Then what are we paying for?
I don't know, and it sometimes says triple washed, but you got to wash it one more time. Wait,
there's actually lettuce out there that says triple washed.
Triple washed, yeah. Just to reassure you. That it's clean.
So you got
to
give a triple wash, a quadruple wash?
Absolutely.
That's ridiculous.
Because apparently the extra washing means that more people are involved in the delivery chain, which means more bacteria.
Oh, so the more it's washed, the worse it is what you're telling me. Jesus.
You know what? They say you should do this to the human body, too. You shouldn't shower so much.
I agree. And you know? I think that we should, let's eat some dirt at some point. You know, who cares?
Well, you know, they say this bodily oils are good for you.
Right.
Need to have a little oil. You need some oil.
I don't understand. I just feel like we are so protected. Now, E. coli, which, of course, was the big outbreak with that romaine lettuce, that's no good. But, like, for some little dirt, little infections, that's okay, right? We need to build up our immune systems.
Absolutely. That's the problem. That's why kids have, the kids that are so protected. They're not out there in the dirt. Okay, listen, though. Do you wash your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher?
For the most part. If there's any gunk on there, I try and get it out there. I don't like when it's just like a bunch of meats or something stuck on the plate.
Meat
like
and cream.
That, there's not a garbage disposal in my dishwasher, so I know that it's not going to go anywhere unless I, wash it off first and get it down the actual garbage disposal. So, yeah, I wash the plates down.
Yeah, well, they say that you really should let the dishes soak.
Okay, I do that.
You do?
I let them, if it's really on there, I let them soak and soak.
You soak them in a cleansing solution.
No, I just...
That means 1 tablespoon of bleach per gallon of water.
What?
Yes.
No, no one's doing that. And this is before you put them in the dishwasher?
Yeah.
No. No one's going to do that.
I thought I was doing too much, but apparently I wasn't doing enough.
You're not doing anything. Do you wash your dishes down before you put them in?
You know, I have to because my dishwasher is from the 1970s. So, still in the disco era.
It's actually a human in there. It's a human little human guy that just lives in there.
It's actually a human John Travolta inside of my 1970s dishwasher that washes my dishes. So,
you got to put bleach? Oh, the smell of bleach. Oh.
Not much. Just a tablespoon.
So that's how we stay healthy at the holidays, right?
Right.
We're going to take a quick break and we're going to wrap up this show because we're clearly out of things to talk about here on the stream on WGN. Jisuke, John Hanson here for Bill and Wendy on the stream. You're dancing. You're having a good time because we're almost done.
I am having such a great time, but I'm sad. I'm sad that we're almost done.
We'll do it again.
I love you so much.
You brought up a great point when we said goodbye to Judy and the whole crowd came in here. We were cheering. It felt like the end of the show.
I was ready to eat cake.
And then we came back here. We're like, oh, crap. We got 25 more minutes.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Of time to fill.
I know.
Apologies to our audience.
I am so sorry that this just derailed. I apologize. We'll do a lot better next time.
I tried to read the gay flag story as slow as I could, but it only ate up about 11 minutes. Hey, you're professional. Sometimes, this is why I say, you did TV. Do TV. You continue to do TV, and you will forever.
I will forever.
But you can tell the TV people that have done radio, because we just know how to move that needle. There's some times where you just got to keep on going.
Yes. Well, I mean, we could talk. Hey, you want to go for another hour?
No. I want to start my holiday break. I've got the next couple days off, which is great, but I'm back here on Monday. Blessed to be able to do so off the TV show till next Thursday. I cannot wait to get home right now. Right now, what I'm doing, I'm driving home, taking a 3-hour nap, waking up, having some coffee, putting some Baileys in it, and I'm going to just have a relaxing Friday night and get drunk.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I'm doing. I'm excited about it. What are you doing right now?
I'm going to go home.
Feed the cat?
Yes.
We live exciting lives. One of us is going to get drunk alone, and the other is going to feed the cat.
Yes, I'll get drunk with my cat.
All right, we're both getting drunk somewhere. Gee, good time, all right?
Thank you for having me.
That's how we wrap it up. Okay. Thanks for listening so much, and I'll be in for Bill and Wendy on Monday, so you can talk to me then on WGN Radio on 720. No stream next week, so if you listen to the stream, you won't have it, but they'll return after the new year. Jazzy, thanks so much, and have a great...
Thank you guys.
Yeah, it was a
lot
of fun.
Love you, Jazzy.
Till next time, so long. Goodbye.